That's right, everybody. Whenever we don't have a specific movie, I think I'm going to stick with this music.
You sounded like you were struggling to say the word specific.
Yes. Specifically, I had trouble saying that word. So, guys, we're starting anew. If you've seen the title of the episode, we're going to start doing top fives.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was actually April's idea.
It was. I'm easily influenced, and a lot of really talented people have top five lists, and I always feel like I enjoy watching them more than a deep dive into a singular film. And I feel like there's more room for debate, and you just get to cover more films in one episode, so I'm excited to start this.
Yeah, I feel like you felt about this because we did the top 10 of the year.
Yeah,
really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I really did, and so I'm excited mm-hmm. to do these more often. And this week we're doing one to coincide with the release of Knock at the Cabin, which is biggest plot twists, or our favorite plot twists, I should say.
Yeah, and we're keeping Sixth Sense out of this. It's kind of like a tribute to the Sixth Sense. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, Sixth Sense, I remember seeing it in theaters. I remember sitting in the audience being like, oh my God. It doesn't happen a lot these days. I feel like with the internet now, everything kind of gets ruined before.
And speaking of, there will be heavy spoilers in this episode. So if we name something that you don't want spoiled, make sure you click away fast.
Yeah, fast forward. I think most of the movies I have on my list are pretty mainstream. Maybe not all of them.
Mine are not.
Okay, so yours are not. So if you hear a movie, we'll give the title first.
And we'll let it marinate for a second.
Yeah.
To let you skip away.
And then just run away. So yeah, I'm pretty excited for this. I think it's going to be kind of fun. It's something that we could touch on a lot of movies for a small amount of time. Mm-hmm. But we'll still do the deep reviews when we go see films and when we just like watch some older films at home. So we're still going to, we just released a big episode. We didn't go super deep because it's not a super deep movie, but I had fun just talking about my love for that film. This is going to be more specific. I think we got Ant-Man in the new Ant-Man film coming up, so mm-hmm. maybe we'll do some sort of comic book-based top five for that one also.
I love that we picked one out already and you don't remember. So I guess it'll be a surprise.
We did.
For you
I just
well.
Don't want until because, well, I don't know if we were 100% concrete on it. So we definitely have been having discussions. We came up with a list of top fives that we think might be a good idea.
Hit JTE up if there is an idea that you want to see on Twitter. Let us know if there's something specific in the Marvel universe you think would be a fun top five.
Go for it at JTE Movie Things. But again, we do have ideas. We're going to try to do these that coincide with the movies. Kind of like our friends at Top 10, John Rocha and Matt Nos. They've been doing it for a long time. They actually just announced that they're stopping the Top 10 podcast.
Oh, well, yeah. I guess now we can be the new Top 5 podcast.
We're only half as good because we're only top five.
Exactly.
All right, so I think we should go ahead and start with our top five list. This is the biggest plot twist. For me, these aren't like my top five favorite movies with a plot twist. I came at it with the plot twist that affected me the most when it happened. It made either the movie better, in most cases better, but like the ones that affected me. So maybe these aren't my favorite movies, but the twist almost made the movie for me in some ways.
See, these movies on my list are pretty much my favorites.
Nice.
But it's not just the movies themselves. I did take the plot twist into consideration and how it impacted the film, if I saw it coming, if just overall how it made me feel versus taking it away from the film itself.
Sounds good. Do you want to start or me?
I'll start. Okay. So,
number five for April, plot twist. What do you got?
Now, this might be controversial, but I'm here to argue for it. It's Denis Villeneuve's Arrival.
Interesting. So if you have not seen Arrival, skip forward. But a very well-liked film. It's been getting a lot of talk lately because the Oscars have been around. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, how is Amy Adams not nominated? Or maybe, was she nominated? Or she definitely didn't win. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people have been talking about that. So this movie I've been seeing a lot lately on Twitter and stuff.
Which I love to see because I think Arrival needs more love. Like I said, it's not the biggest plot twist.
So what is
twist,
the plot twist?
That the story is not being told in a linear way. At the end, you find out that those creatures view things differently. Like I said, not linear. Time is kind of relative, it goes in a circle, there's no beginning or end. And so you find out that they essentially tell Amy Adams, right?
Yeah.
Is that how you would view it?
It's you know, it's a scientific gray area. It's like love's a fifth dimension or fourth dimension. Interstellar gets really weird.
I love Arrival. I love Interstellar.
It's basically they talk with time, and I guess the aliens are time traveling, and they're there to like, yeah, it's weird.
So essentially you find out throughout the story that Amy Adams has a child and she's dying of cancer. And you think that it's being told in a linear way, but then you come to find out that it's not. And from the very beginning, Amy Adams knew her child was going to die young, and she still chose to have the child anyway, which I think is such a profound emotion. It talks about the mother-daughter relationship, the bond, and just honestly the power of love, as cheesy as it sounds.
Yeah, it is a movie that I remember when it happened in the theater. I didn't quite understand what was happening for a second. Like, it took me...
A lot of people didn't grasp it at first.
But I eventually... Yeah, it took a little while, but it is a very emotional... The twist makes the movie so much more emotional and impactful at the end, mm-hmm. which I think why it's a really good plot twist. But yeah, I do remember being in the theater being like, wait, what's happening? Okay, oh. And it's I came to the slow, you know... I figured it out. Mm-hmm. But it took a little bit. But because of that, it almost made it more effective because I really got to think about it.
Yeah, because I think the level of love and heart completely changes from it going from a mother just loving her daughter to a mother who knows that her child is going to die young and chooses to live with her and enjoy those moments and do it all over again, knowing the outcome, I think, is so beautiful. And it kind of represents, you know, I'd rather spend that time with the people that I love than not get it at all. You know, I absolutely love it.
Well said. All right, let's go down to my number five.
Yes.
Before I do my number five, my number six, I just want to give a quick shout out, was Shutter Island.
Mm-hmm.
I think that movie...
I debated that one as well.
Yeah, and when the twist in that movie almost made the movie better for me, but I didn't know that while I was watching it. Mm-hmm. So that's a movie I enjoyed more in a second viewing because of that twist. But the movie, I think, is flawed in some ways. Scorsese went with a real gothic tone, but I just wanted to give it a shout out because it was dancing around my number five. But I actually went with David Fincher's Seven.
Ooh, love
What's in the
Fincher.
Box?
What's in the box?
What an amazing ending. A lot of plot twists. I think some of the most effective ones, and not all of them, come towards the end. And this one was one of those things where it's such a gruesome discovery that, you know, I can only imagine everyone's mouth in the theater was a gap. Just like in realization, slowly, that the most horrible thing possible could have happened is happening.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Gwyneth Paltrow's head is in that box and Kevin Spacey's evil plan kind of comes all into fruition. And I think it's great that Fincher never showed the head. Mm-hmm. He never showed. It's all about Brad Pitt's reaction, Morgan Freeman's shock. And it's still one of the best endings to a horror film. And I think Fincher, everyone's like, what's your favorite Fincher film? Zodiac's up there, Social Network's up there, and Seven's up there. Seven, to me, is still one of his best films. It holds up really well. And that plot twist, like, what's in the box is a catchphrase.
Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite sayings.
Because that's how epic and just how much it got its heels into pop culture.
Every time a package comes, that line runs through my head like automatically.
What's in the box?
Yeah, I can't escape it. Yeah.
So for me, number five, David Fincher, Seven.
Yeah, we recently rewatched this and
not too long ago.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, a year ago. I don't know, time blurs.
So
but
good.
It was such a joy to rewatch as much as that movie can be. It's just so engrossing.
Joy is not the word that would come to mind, but I get what you're saying.
I have weird comfort movies, all right?
Yeah.
So my number four is Christopher Nolan's The Prestige.
Oh, The Prestige. So the plot twist, so again, if you haven't seen Prestige, but I think most of us are Nolan fans here, we've seen it. So is the plot twist the fact that... Which one? Because there's two plot twists in there, I would almost argue. Mm-hmm. There's the one that Christian Bale has a brother.
Yes.
And there's the one that Hugh Jackman is cloning himself and killing himself. So which one are you kind of more going towards?
I think both, honestly. But I guess think throughout the movie you're wondering longer what it is with Christian Bale's character versus you figuring it out with Hugh Jackman's, because it just goes on for a longer time. And I like the obsession that you see with Hugh Jackman. It drives him crazy. And I love movies about obsession. He's like, how is he doing this?
So let me just say, this is not my list. And the reason is because I remember watching this in theaters and figuring it out pretty early on. I was like, oh, he has a twin brother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one point where he hurts.
You're really weirdly good at that.
Yeah, because there's a point where he heals really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife is like, why? How do you heal so fast? And I'm in the theater and I'm like, oh, he's got a twin brother probably. And he's just fake. And then the movie from that point forward, and this was like half an hour into the movie,
mm-hmm.
is acting like you don't know. And for me, I figured it out. And I was just like, for the rest of the movie, I was like, I know what's happening here. See, so for me, the Hugh Jackman part mm-hmm. was the more shocking plot twist for me, because I had already figured out the twin brother thing. But if you hadn't figured out the twin brother thing, I could completely understand why that would be the one you go towards.
I will give credit where credit is due. You are so good at that. I'm going to spoil two other movies, but
okay.
Tully, you called the twist in that super fast.
Yep.
And Goodnight Mommy, I was shocked at how fast. Like, you just have like a weird eye for that one. Like, you always catch it. But for me, I was actually really surprised by both outcomes. And I, like I said, I think you're with Hugh Jackman. Like, how does he do this? You're wondering there yourself. And I just love how throughout the film, they keep one-upping each other. It's just a competition, you know? Like, I love Drive. I love all of those type of movies where it's just two people at their very best who are competing against each other. And to have them both have a plot twist of their own, I thought was brilliant. And it fits so well with the theme of magic. Like, the that speech that Michael Caine gives about, like, the opening, yeah. the prestige, like, yeah. all of that, I think is literally encompassing the entire movie, which yep. I just think is flawlessly done. I love The Prestige.
Yeah, good film. All right, so let's go to my number four. Earlier I said I could imagine what people were like seeing Seven in the theater with their mouth agape.
Mm-hmm.
I think I wasn't too young, because I was actually allowed to see radar movies pretty young. I just missed Seven in theaters. I didn't see it till I hit home video. But a movie that I did watch in theaters and my jaw was on the ground was Old Boy.
Ooh.
And we're not talking the remake. We're talking the original Park Chan-wook original film. So this had a limited release in our house theaters, and I was able to go see it with a friend. And at the end of Old Boy, once you find out that this whole elaborate, and again, much like with our films, the whole reason you're watching this film, you're like, why was he trapped and imprisoned for like 15 something years? And the whole time you want to know why. Then when you find out why at the end of that film, and you find out that the woman that he was basically hypnotized into having sex with is in fact his grown-up daughter, was just so shocking. And his reaction, him cutting off his tongue, I can't tell you, like, there's very few movie-going experiences in my life where I sat in a theater and was just completely gobsmacked by the reveal and the reaction of the actor. And it's like this perfect puzzle that everything just came into place. And once you figure out what happened and what that reveal happens, it's like an evil genius. And yeah, so I had to make my list because it is one of the biggest movie going experiences that I remember, because it's just so shocking.
Well, if you'd like us here to talk, listen, but if you'd like to hear us talk more about Old Boy, you can go back to one of our previous podcasts where we talk about the new and original film.
That's right. We did a dual review where mm-hmm. we reviewed the original and the remake.
All right. Is that all you have to say about it?
Yeah, let's go to number three.
All right. My number three comes from a director you already mentioned, which is David Fincher.
I think I know.
What do you know?
Gone Girl?
Yes, it is. Of course it is. I love this movie. I was in the theater. I feel like I always thought I knew where the movie was going, and then it always went somewhere else. And for me, obviously, the plot twist of the film is that she's still alive, and she faked her own murder, which is just brilliant. The book is fantastic, but I read the book afterwards, so the movie was my first genuine experience, and I was just totally blown away. I never knew what was going to happen next. I love a good game of cat and mouse. I thought Rosamund Pike gave a phenomenal performance. And so did Ben Affleck in being that, like really did he, didn't he, husband. I thought he played it right on the line, which I thought was fantastic. And when I went back and read the book, I was really impressed by it. But I think it was a true perfect pairing of book and director because it is absolutely fantastic.
This is a great example of a plot twist that happens halfway through the movie. Mm-hmm. And like most of these plot twists, it happens towards the end. This is one that happens in the middle, and it changes the complete course of the movie. It changes what you think about the characters. At this point, you're just like, what did Ben Affleck do? You know, it was very similar to some true life stories about husbands killing their wives. But once that happened in the theater, I remember being like, what? Mm-hmm. And again, you see how crazy she is. And at that point, she's capable of anything. And she does some things that are just so evil and insane. And
I love her. He's
on board with it. Yeah, I mean, I think Rosamund Pike did an amazing job in that film. Fincher, again, absolutely killing it. But yeah, I went with 7 just because I think it's such a big, it's a finale moment, and it's just so like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when the Gone Girl happens, it's oh my God, but so much happens after that, that I think that's what's the difference between the middle plot twist and the end plot twist, because mm-hmm. it changed the whole movie, and it really did change the whole movie.
One thing I just want to say that I really loved about the movie was the opening, which is that shot of her resting her head, mm-hmm. and she looks up, and she looks like so sweet and loving, and he says, like, what have we done to each other? What will we do? And then at the very end, he recites the same line, and it's the same shot, yeah. but then you just know how much has changed over, and it's like, your viewpoint of her is completely different. And I just love movies where it opens and ends with the same shot, like 1917. Can you think of any other ones?
No, but that's two great examples. Yeah. So I think I'll leave it at that. Number 3, I'm going to tell you right now, I thought about putting The Matrix here. Because mm-hmm. The Matrix is one of those plot twists that happens, I wouldn't even say halfway, in the first 30 minutes. But anyone who's a cinephile out there knows a movie a few years before that had already done basically the same thing. I'm going with Alex Proyas's Dark City. Now, this is a movie that a lot of people, when they talk about The Matrix, they talk about Dark City did it before. There's another film called The 13th Floor that it also is very similar around that time. That a lot of people feel like The Matrix took stuff from Dark City and they took stuff from The 13th Floor and they kind of put it in a sci-fi, gun-crazy martial arts movie, which I love. The Matrix is absolutely amazing. Dark City is one of the films on here where I think maybe some of you people out there haven't seen it. So before I give...
Including me.
You have seen it, but you say you don't remember
much.
Yeah,
I don't remember anything.
So do you want to hear this?
I mean, why not?
Why not? So there's a lot to the movie. The thing I love about the film is it opens up like a 1950s... murder mystery. A man wakes up in a bathtub. There's a dead body. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know who he is. He has amnesia. And throughout the film, supernatural elements start happening. And then you realize that his reality is not what you expect it to be. It's not, he's not the Matrix. He's not in a simulation computer, but it's something very similar and much darker and very out there. And you know what? Just because you haven't seen it, I'm not going to completely ruin it, but it is very Matrix-like, and it is something, again, you don't find out till more towards the end of the movie, but it makes everything like so much more meaningful back in. But I love the mystery of the film. It's a mystery that you think it's a murder mystery, but then becomes more of a life mystery and more of a reality mystery. And I don't know, Roger Ebert is one of his all-time favorite films. He actually did an audio commentary on the DVD Blu-ray, and it's one of the best audio commentaries I've ever listened to because it is somebody like Roger Ebert who knows movies, and he breaks down every little thing. So Dark City, check it out. That's my number 3.
You sold me.
It's amazing.
All right.
Jennifer Connelly's in it too. So.
Oh, well, why didn't you start with that?
What else do you need? If you need another reason, Jennifer Connelly's
in it. You would have watched it years ago. All right, so my number 2 is Denis Villeneuve's Incendies. You remember this, Josh?
Hell yeah.
I feel like a lot of people on this podcast won't have seen it.
It falls in the old boy category of, oh my God.
So I'm going to give people a minute to step away because I feel like a lot of people haven't seen this one.
Yeah, it's a foreign film by Denis before he started doing, you know, his American films.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in English, but yeah, very powerful and very disturbing film.
So the main plot is that the mother, like, loses her son, has to give him up. And then she ends up going to jail later on and is repeatedly raped by her captor.
Beaten, raped, yep.
And then has a baby from him?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I said all of that right. If for the people, if they haven't seen it, yes, that's what happens. And she finds out and she has to deal with that grief and burden and every horrible emotion that you could think of. I think it, like...
What did she find out about the guy that did this to her?
That it's her son.
Yeah. Did you say that already?
You said she had kids. I don't know. All of it's crazy.
You said that she had kids afterwards, but what we don't know is that these kids in the movie are trying to find out what happened to their mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they unravel this story. And it turns out she had a kid earlier that was taken from her. And years later, when she is captured and beaten and raped, the person who has basically tortured her for years turned out to be her son. And it is one of the most messed up endings I've ever seen in a movie.
I feel like I just walked around the house like with my jaw on the floor for like 10 minutes after that movie. I was just so stunned by it.
Yeah.
So that one, just on impact alone, is why it got my number two spot. What's yours?
My number two is one of the most iconic endings to a film ever. It's to the point where I think people know the ending, but they haven't even seen the movie.
And I think I know what you're talking
about. I'm talking Planet of the Apes.
Yep.
I saw this as a kid, so I didn't, you know, this is an older film, Charlton Heston. I used to watch this on cable growing up. So the first time I saw it, I was lucky enough to, you know, it wasn't that old as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I was a child. There's monkeys around. There's humans. It's very, still a very entertaining movie, even though I think the makeup obviously is nowhere near as good as it would be now, but it's still passable. Like, you could still watch it today and be entertained by it. But that ending is so mimicked. It's part of pop culture. And it's hard because I don't know how many people, I feel like I said, most people know this ending without ever seeing the movie.
Mm, that's the boat I'm in. Never seen it. No.
But man, it's hard to describe what it was like. It is The Empire Strikes Back. I Am Your Father before The Empire Strikes Back. It was Planet of the Apes. And it was, he shows up on the beach and sees the Statue of Liberty. And then you realize that the planet he's been on this whole time was actually Earth. It's
mind blown.
And Charlton Heston, that scene where he goes, "You blew it up, damn you all to hell." I mean, and the way the movie ends, the camera pans out, and that's the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. It ends on the most dramatic. There's like when he says, "I am your father," and Empire Strikes Back, there's another 15 minutes. You know, they close the movie up, but Planet of the Apes literally ends on that shot. And I can only imagine what people must have been like when they saw it in the theater. And just, they must have just been walking out of theater in a haze. Like, holy crap. So I had to put Planet of the Apes. It almost made number one, but I had to put number two. It's the OG ultimate plot twist. And it still holds up today. So that's my number two.
I need to add that to my list now, too.
What's that?
I need to add that movie to my list.
Oh, yeah. You
now
haven't
too.
Seen it? Okay, yeah. I mean, again, I think even though you know the ending, you'll still enjoy it. And you know what? Those new films, Rise of Planet of the Apes, those are amazing films.
So my number one is one that has already been said, which is Park Chan-wook's Old Boy.
Wow, you're going Old Boy.
Yes. I had been wanting to see that film for years. I was trying to hunt it down, and our good friend Jeff Snyder gave it to me a copy, and I'm forever thankful. I loved this movie. I think that from the very first scene, you are hooked. And you get to see him live in that hotel room for who knows we do know how long for, do you remember the exact years?
It's 15 plus.
Yeah. And
that'd be 15.
And you're wondering, along with the main character, why did they do this to him? And you find out that, like you said, that this man that, or this woman that he met after escaping and had sex with and built a relationship with was actually his daughter. And this has been a plan that's been 15 plus years in the making. And I love the fact that they open up with the fact that he has a daughter. And you know that from the very beginning, but then you kind of forget about her.
Yeah.
Until the very end, and you're just gobsmacked.
Well, don't forget
that one scene.
Yeah. There's a scene where he's locked up and they say his wife and daughter, or his wife was killed. And they might have said his daughter was killed, or she was.
I'm mixing up the remake and this one, because which one has the newscast of like the daughter?
They both. Oh, that's the second. That's the remake.
Oh, okay.
So, and they have like a different actress.
Yeah.
I think in the original that his wife is killed. And when he gets out, he's told his daughter is like somewhere far away.
Okay. But just for the fact that you do know that he has a daughter and it comes back to play so much later on, it's just brilliant. It's my favorite.
Plot twist.
Yes. Thank
favorite
you.
Plot twist ever. Yeah, so my number one is something you called pretty right away when we even talked about making this list.
Oh, really?
It's got to be The Usual Suspects. It is a movie that is really entertaining. And I think, you know, some people have argued that once you know the twist, you might not be able to enjoy the movie as much. But I disagree, because I think this is an ensemble cast. Kevin Pollak, Gabriel Byrne, Stephen Baldwin, a favorite of ours.
Oh, yes, a new favorite after watching The Mole.
Celebrity Edition. I think this is a perfect movie of setup, and the way the final shot when he leaves the police station and Chaz Palminteri, who's an amazing actor and it doesn't get enough credit, the way he pieces together everything and that everything in his office was something that he used to tell this story. Kaiser Soze. It's kind of Soze. Like, there's so many things in this movie. The way the movie opens with like this, if there's a feeling to it that feels very classic film noir, that's updated for the 90s. Now listen, Bryan Singer's made some good movies, but obviously he's turned out to be a pretty trash human being. Kevin Spacey, absolutely trash human being. But Kevin Spacey's not really a star of this movie. He's there telling a story in the cast, overall cast. Benicio del Toro, amazing in this film. The way he's like, I gotta flip it. I mean, there's so many great moments in this film, but everything builds up to that ending. The reveal, the tease, the walk. He's limping, and slowly as the camera pans down and the limp is going away. And the feeling watching that movie, you're just like, oh my God, because you're coming to the realization and the same speed that Chaz Palminteri is doing it. And it's just amazing. And then the last shot, and they use a quote, you know, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was you believing he didn't exist. And there's that shot where Spacey goes, and it's just the movie cuts to black. And it's just, you're just on the ground. Like, this is cinema. Mm-hmm. Like, that is cinema right there. So I had to go to Usual Suspects. You know, even though I don't like the people who made it now.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't been able to revisit it since all that stuff came out. So I haven't seen it in a good 10 years.
We'll have to watch it again. I just got the 4K that came out recently. So I'm excited to revisit it with a new transfer.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's our top five.
Can we name
plot twists?
Some
honorable mentions?
Yeah.
Sure. Go ahead.
The Others.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love The Others. And another horror movie, The Orphanage.
Yeah, Orphanage. Really good plot twist. More sad of a plot twist than like surprising.
Oh my God, that one is heartbreaking. It's
devastating. We won't say what these, for these honorable mentions, we won't say them. A Perfect Getaway.
Yeah.
Really, really great plot twist, which the whole movie kind of revolves around in a lot of ways and really makes that movie, kind of puts it up at a couple levels, in my opinion.
Do you think that Interstellar is a plot twist?
Yeah, the fact that like, you know,
I thought we were saying it.
I mean, it's Interstellar. I think anybody watching this has seen Interstellar. Yeah, I think it is for the most part. Like the fact that, but I didn't really enjoy that plot twist.
Yeah,
I was like, ugh.
I know. I was just curious if you considered it one or not.
Yeah, I would probably consider it.
Okay.
Any other ones come to mind?
And that's it.
Yeah, obviously we got, you know, just give one shout out to M. Night Shyamalan. Sixth Sense is obviously a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
Unbreakable was a really good one.
I enjoy Signs actually.
The plot, I didn't see the plot twist in Signs is what made me like it less. Mm. I liked the movie until the plot twist.
I liked The Visit.
The Visit was good. Signs, the problem was you expected it in M. Night Shyamalan movies, and at times it was like, it just, he didn't earn a plot twist. Mm-hmm. And it felt like the movie was in service of the plot twist instead of the plot twist serving the movie. But we are you know, kind of excited for his new films, getting some good reviews.
I'm very excited.
And didn't love Old.
He does it every time. I loved the trailer for Old, and I was like, I'm not going to get sucked back in. I'm not going to like go in expecting a lot. And I was so excited when we went. I couldn't hold it back, and I was just so bummed out.
Well, at least this one's getting some pretty good early word of mouth. We'll probably come back and do a review for it. Mm-hmm.
That'd be a fun one.
I'm still excited for it. I'm trying to think of any of our top fives that would have made my list. Empire Strikes Back, we kind of mentioned. I think that would definitely be up there.
I really like Goodnight Mommy.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid like the super big ones, but I had to put Planet of the Apes on there. Mm-hmm. And Matrix, I wanted to give the nod to Dark City, or else Matrix probably would have been there. But yeah, there's a lot of other good ones. But those are some of the ones that kind of really came to our head. Get Out is a really good one.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, because Get Out is a fantastic movie. All right, well, I think that's going to do it, guys. Thanks so much for listening. You can catch me on Twitter at JTE Movie Things. Any last things you want to say, April?
Keep watching those movies.
That's our catchphrase. See you guys later.